And now, another day of totally tantalizing Trump tweets.
Talk is cheap and tweets are cheap.
On the Tara Show.
America cannot afford a Twitter presidency.
Oh, shut up!
106.3 WORD.
I'm really not a bad person, by the way.
All right, excuse me. All right, finishing up. I'm finishing up Trump tweets. I need a self-care break, I think, to get over this cold. Like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the crazy ex-girlfriend, who has not even been sworn into Congress yet and is already taking a week off for self-care. Maybe she needs to talk to HR around here. All right, Trump tweets. Today I'm making good on my promise to defend our farmers and ranchers from unjustified trade retaliation by foreign nations. I have authorized Secretary Perdue to implement the second round of market facilitation payments. Our economy is stronger than ever. We stand with our farmers. Trump tweet, biggest outrage yet is in a long, winding, and highly conflicted Mueller witch hunt is the fact, this is true, that 19,000 demanded text messages between Peter Strzok and his FBI lover, Lisa Page, were purposely and illegally deleted, would have explained whole hoax, which is now under protest, exclamation point. Trump tweet, good luck today in court. General Michael Flynn will be interesting to see what he has to say. Despite tremendous pressure being put on him about Russian collusion in our great and obviously highly successful political campaign, there was no collusion, exclamation point. Trump tweets, I hope the people over at the Fed will read today's Wall Street Journal editorial before they make another mistake, yet another mistake. He's talking about hiking rates. He doesn't want them to do it. Also, don't let the market become any more illiquid than it already is. Stop with the 50 Bs. Feel the market. Don't just go by meaningless numbers. Good luck. Ouch. Trump tweet 2 hours ago, Facebook, Twitter, and Google are so biased toward the Democrats, it is ridiculous. Twitter, in fact, has made it much more difficult for people to join at Real Donald Trump. They have removed many names and greatly slowed the level and speed of increase. They do that on my Facebook page, too. They have acknowledged done nothing. Trump tweet, illegal immigration costs the United States more than $200 billion a year. How was this allowed to happen? Yeah, we could pay for the wall with what we spend on just on welfare for illegal immigrants for 3 months. Mm-hmm. Yep. But that would make sense. So we'll never do it. We'll never do it. Trump tweet, Russia dossier reporter now doubts dopey Christopher Steele's claims. When you get into the details of the Steele dossier, the specific allegations, we have not seen the evidence to support them. You think? Good gosh, this is such old news for you, isn't it? In talk radio. This is Michael Isikoff he's talking about. Okay, for people who watch CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC, this is shocking. This is a bombshell. That the allegations in the dossier might not be correct. You're thinking, I've known that for like 2 years. Yeah, I know. But they keep them dumb. It's the only way they can keep them. So the original reporter, Michael Isikoff, who broke the dossier story, wrote a bestseller all about how Putin undermined our election based on the dossier and anonymous sources, which means he just used the dossier and the rest is gobbledygook. Now admitting the dossier is gobbledygook. Folks, this is shocking when you consider that our self-righteous FBI director, former FBI director James Comey, literally 2 weeks ago testified under oath before Congress and said he didn't know if the dossier was real or not. Had no idea. And I told you it was a stunning thing to see because he had just admitted under oath that he perjured himself before the FISA court because he signed the FISA application to spy on the Trump campaign. When he signed it, it said he had verified this stuff. Then he admits under oath he didn't. Well, that means he perjured himself. It's a crime. Nobody cares, of course, because it's Comey. So Comey, the head of the FBI at the time, has got every kind of classified clearance you can have, says he doesn't know if the dossier is real or not. But Michael Isikoff does? He knows it's not real? What? See how on its face none of this makes any sense? We're going to get back into that in a bit. But first, I want to get into this. Some of the fakiest fake news reporting of the last 48 hours has been about the stock market, which plunged yesterday down 500 points. Here is the media, just a sample of the media lying about why. Now, notice this. Start to notice whenever the market goes down, it's always because of failure of a failure of Trump. So it's either going to be The wall, if that works real well for the talking points that particular day, it's going to be trade a lot of times as Trump's tariffs have caused the drop. But you'll notice the market will turn around and go right back up. And it's never a policy of Trump's that causes it. And the problem they told you brought it down, like, you know, rate hikes coming on Wednesday from the Fed potentially. The problem they told you brought it down. Which in this case, this week, the lie is, I'll play it for you. So when it goes down, they'll say some policy of Trump's caused it. When it comes back up inevitably, which it always does, they won't credit the same Trump policy that brought it down. Listen.
Not only is Congress jittery as the shutdown looms, but so are the markets, as Americans are all waiting to see if the House and Senate can come up with a plan to avoid a government shutdown by the end of the week. Or will congressional members be looking at Christmas in D.C.? The market's closing bell marking the end of another dizzying day on Wall Street. Stocks dropping to their lowest levels in more than a year. The Dow's plunge of more than 500 points coming as uncertainty mounts in Washington. The White House and lawmakers are in a standoff.
Yeah, whatever. That's a lie. That is just a bold-faced lie. The market, when the market comes back up inevitably, I mean, it'll go all the way back up. But when it comes back up and the wall is still not funded, and we're still in a standoff, they won't mention it. This is how they lie. So what really caused this yesterday? The Fed. This is nothing to do with the wall. This is nothing to do with the government being shut. They don't care about that. It's the Fed. Well, what happened with the Fed? On Monday, after President Trump's tweet warning the Fed not to hike rates at its Wednesday meeting, the Fed announced it would likely hike rates. What happens when the Fed hikes rates? Raises interest rates. Money is guaranteed to flow out of the stock market, and the stock market will lose value. Why? Because if you can get a higher interest rate for your investment, people will inevitably sell stocks and put it in something with an interest rate. Happens every time. And so if you hike rates really fast, you can crash the market. Because once people see the market going down, self-fulfilling prophecy, they start pulling their money out and it goes down more and more and more, not even for any real financial reason. So that reporter just lied to you, but then they're all lying today. Oh, it's the border. See, why do you see it? We're going to, if Trump continues with this, it's going to crash the economy and doesn't even mention what's really driving this. And that's the rate hike meeting. But not just the rate hike meeting, not just the fact that they're probably going to hike rates. Do you realize they have, if they hike rates tomorrow, they will have hiked rates more in the last year than they did during the entire Obama administration? And you can do this very slowly if it is needed, and it'll be okay. But when you hike rates fast, guess what? It makes the money flow out of the market like water. People panic. They pull it out, and you got a market. You got people run on your money. So listen to Lou Dubs explain, one of the few honest reporters, explain why the market tanked yesterday. And you'll notice he doesn't say a darn thing about the border wall because it had nothing to do with it.
The Fed doesn't understand now empirically, looking at these markets, looking at these yields. You look at the 10-year, the 2-year, the 5-year, a flat curve inverted actually today. To whatever degree that's a forecasting tool, it would be insane to raise rates.
And that's right. You know, the flat curve is telling the Fed, the market is telling the Fed that short-term rates are too high.
Yes.
Right. So it's about time to go ahead and halt rate hikes for the time being. You know, it wasn't that long ago the Fed was talking about a Fed funds rate above 3% by the end of 2019. Now the market is telling the Fed, no way.
Right. Yet the Fed is still like, oh, we don't care what this says. We don't care. We're just going to hike rates anyway because we hate Trump. That's where the market panicked. It's too much too fast, and it's not needed. And that's why the Dow immediately dropped another 507 points. Nothing about the wall in there. Did you hear anything about the wall? Yeah, it has nothing to do with it. They just lie. They just lie and lie and lie. Listen, if you are investing based on the business talking heads, honestly, you might as well just take your money to Vegas and blow it on one of the tables. You gotta wonder what these two guys had intended. The ones who tried to carjack the woman outside of the Greenville County liquor store on Augusta Road, the ABC liquor store. You ever been by there? This is brazen. 1 p.m. December 7th. Two brothers, Charles Lee Presley, 37, and Brian Lee Presley, 27. said earlier, love to meet the mama of these two. What a mess. Decided to carjack a woman. Said they didn't just want her car, they wanted her too. They went into the liquor store. Wait, I mean, would you just go by the liquor store to pick yourself up some liquor and a woman? Is that what you do? I don't know. Anyway, after they made their purchase at the liquor store, Charles Presley pulled out a gun, got in the victim's car while his brother Brian used his car to block her. And so they didn't do this because they needed a car. They wanted her, obviously, or they wanted her in a car. Charles then tried to get the victim to drive, but she refused to do so. Exactly, ladies, what you should do in this situation. I'd rather take a bullet than go where they want. I'll take a bullet in public before I go where they're going. He then tried to steal the victim's purse. However, she fought him off before the brothers eventually gave up and fled without getting anything from her. Now, here's what's cool. The investigators were looking for them. Or not cool, depending on your point of view. And there was video, as there is now of many things. There's so many video cameras all over the place. And I read this line, and it floored me, that the sheriff's office was able to ID these two using facial recognition software. Wait, what? That's actually the headline of the email I sent to Lieutenant Ryan Flood, spokesperson for the sheriff's office. Wait, what? You have what? And so I had him on the show earlier, and you'll hear some of that in the news. But what's interesting about it is, this is what I wanted to know. What photos were you running these guys against? Database of criminal mugshots? I got no problem with that. You don't want your mugshot in a criminal government database? Don't do crime. Very easy way to prevent that. You do crime, you're giving them permission to use your photo. But I was wondering about this too. Any other photos in that database that you are using the facial recognition software? Yeah. Oh, which ones? Everybody's driver's license photo in the state. Huh. Well, that's going to change everything, isn't it? So I don't know. I'd love to know how you feel about this. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. I don't mean this is criticism of the sheriff's office at all. I'm glad that they took the extra initiative to get these guys. They deserved it. Got some dangerous guys off the street. But, wait, hold what? I don't remember giving my permission. Maybe I did. I don't know. When I got my driver's license. To have it used by a private company for facial recognition software. Do you recall that? I'm sure you did. It was probably somewhere in there at some implicit rule or law. Well, anyway, what's interesting is I wanted to know, well, I've never heard about this being used this way before here in Greenville. It's gone on in plenty of other places. And they said they just started using it basically in August. They're now going back through unsolved crimes, many of which, because of technology, they now have, you know, phones, pictures, video, that sort of thing. So I don't know. Love to know what do you think about this? I'm mixed on this. Let me tell you why. Because they've been doing this in China. There's over a billion people live in China, and I've talked about this a lot. They have tens of millions of cameras now in China to watch you everywhere you go. Two things have happened because of that. One of them is good. Crime has dropped to almost non-existent. You are virtually guaranteed to get busted doing anything, including just jaywalking. They just mail you the ticket. And so they live now in the areas where they rolled this out in China, virtually crime-free society. Now that is tempting, isn't it? That is seductive, especially if you got kids, you got people you worry about. As parents, we all worry about our daughter being the woman that ends up getting carjacked, potentially kidnapped by these two yahoos. By the way, they were charged with kidnapping. But and when you got a good thing like this, and it is a good thing, eventually they're going to do what they've done in L.A. Do you know they have the facial recognition software hooked up to the live video camera feeds all over the city of L.A.? I mean, you do not want to do a robbery there. They're going to get you. They're either going to get your face or they're going to get your license plate. They're going to get one of the two with the cameras. And they're going to do it so fast they'll probably have you nabbed by the time you get home. Now, that's a great thing if it stops crime. Problem is, the Chinese are using it as part of their social credit score system, where they literally track where you go, how long you spend there. Are you doing yoga, which they would prefer? or you were at the or are you getting ice cream, which they would not prefer. Ooh, you get social credit score if you go do yoga. See how this works? Or are you going to a place linked with a low social credit score? Maybe some people who are not popular with the government, not favored by the Chinese party, go there a lot too. Ooh, that'll lower your social credit score. Better not go there. What if it's your mom's you're going to for dinner? Oh, mom's got a low social credit score. She's not high, you know, she's not highly favored by the Communist Party. She buys all the wrong stuff because, by the way, they track your purchases. Do you eat the right kind of food that the Communist Party would prefer you eat, or do you eat other food? Not illegal in Chinese Communist China to choose one kind of food over the other, but they would prefer you eat this kind of food, and they'll give you a higher score for it. Oh, and if you hang out with low-scoring individuals, it'll lower your score. Yeah, well, that low-scoring individual is my mom. Too bad. Going to have to stay away from her house, and we'd appreciate if your visits weren't so long. Could you confine them to half an hour instead of three? Maybe once a month instead of three times. We know where you went on the camera. That's how their system works. I don't know. Love to get your reaction to this when you hear this. And the fact that they're using your driver's license. But now, you and I, we're good people. I'm not going to get busted committing crime. You're not either. This will never affect me the way that it is now. And I'm glad that they used the facial recognition to catch these two jerks. But, texter writes, Chicago can pinpoint a firearm discharge in real time. Yeah, this is where they're going. Texter writes, hey, Tara, there was a horrible killing of a woman at a gas station in Easley just days ago. It looks like you better be armed anywhere you go. Such scary times. Yes, agree with that. Texter writes, driving is a privilege. With it comes responsibility. Another texter writes, using our driver's license for facial recognition, not cool. If we've never committed a crime, there's no reason for them to have access to that. Unfortunately, we gave it to them. Texter writes, can the sheriff's department ID the underwear of the killer in Easley? It was very visible and unique and hanging out, I might add. Maybe they should get a thug underwear database. No, I don't know. Texter writes, talk about your driver's license. Yeah, you don't own it. You just rent. Another texter writes, it belongs to the highway department, so they can do basically what they want with it. Another texter writes, hey, Tara, I don't expect our... Oh, this is a great point. I don't expect our local sheriffs to abuse this, but there's no way the FBI will pass up this opportunity once it gets more widespread. Tony and Pickens, yeah, and there is a big difference between local government using it and national government using it. I agree with that. It's the federal Chinese government doing this. Texter writes, the Chinese government will be using the system against Americans. Darn Skippy, they will. Texter writes, yes, I read that in my New York license renewal, and besides, the courts have ruled that we only have an expectation of privacy, which we lose when we go into public. That's a good point. Texter writes, what's the point of having facial recognition and other tools to help law enforcement catch criminals if judges are just going to suspend their sentences? Yeah, I know. That's a problem, as we learned yesterday. All right, this is getting completely ridiculous. No joke. Hillary Clinton has written a letter to comfort an 8-year-old girl who lost her class presidential election, but not just because she lost her class presidential election. That was not the purpose of the letter. It was the added outrage that she, like Hillary, lost the class election to a boy, which on its face we know is just unjust.
Dear Martha, the most important thing is that you fought for what you believed in, and it is always worth it. Well, I know you may have been disappointed that you did not win president. I am so proud of you deciding to run in the first place. It's not easy when you stand up and put yourself in contention for a role that's only been sought by boys. Never stop standing up for what's right. Sincerely yours, Hillary Rodham Clinton. There it was, this folded piece of paper. And I was like, what in the world? I remember her pink shirt that she was wearing the night of the election. I've had dreams about wearing that pink shirt. To know that Hillary Clinton is cheering me on for a future of great success, I mean, this is really special.
And now I'm sure she'll take a week-long self-care break, which is what is traditionally done at this point, is it not? Holy cow. Okay. Speaking of Hillary Clinton. All right, so I promise you, the biggest news today, which is, of course, the news nobody is talking about, is, and I've done this in every hour, so forgive me if you listen to the whole show, but this is very important. It's a bombshell. It's a two-part bombshell. Christopher Steele the author of the fake dossier. The former British spy who prepared the fake Russian dossier. That has led directly to more than 2 years of investigations into President Trump's campaign. Has told a London court that he was hired to provide a basis to challenge the legitimacy of a 2016 presidential election. Here's the six words that matter in the event that Trump won. Wait, whoa. Huh? Well, like, how challenge the legitimacy? In the event Trump won? Wait, you're telling me Christopher Steele was hired before the election for the purpose of providing the basis to challenge Trump if he won? Yeah. Well, how would you know what the basis to challenge Trump if he won would be if you hadn't had the election yet? Russian collusion. Yeah, but the election hadn't happened yet. The Russians couldn't have influenced the election yet. It hadn't happened. How'd you know there'd be Russian collusion before the election? Because the whole thing's made up. She put the pieces in place to make up the Russian collusion. That's why. Headline, Christopher Steele, I was hired to help Hillary Clinton challenge the 2016 election results. Again, he was hired before the election. He said that the DNC and Hillary for America were looking for steps they could legally be entitled to take to challenge the validity of the outcome of the election. So what the steps were that Fusion GPS was hired. They then hired Perkins Coie, the law firm. It engaged Fusion to obtain information necessary for Perkins Coie to provide legal advice on the potential impact of Russian involvement on the legal validity of the outcome of the 2016 election. Now, this had been done after the election, wouldn't be a big deal. It was done before. Process that a minute for just stop and think about that. Steele admitting for the first time that he was hired via Fusion GPS and Perkins Coie to use the impact of Russian involvement on the election to legally challenge the outcome of the election. It's a coup. And they needed somebody who could go get him something, anything. Wait. I'm sorry. Stop for a minute. The story from the FBI, no, excuse me, FBI, was that, was he a Christopher Steele? He has been on our payroll for a long time. That guy, yeah, and he's a great spy. You're going to love him. This is what he told the FISA court. And he came by some Russian smack intel. Man, he has told us, and he put it together in the dossier. Because remember, the FBI was paying him. He put it together in the dossier. No, that's not what happened. He just admitted in court, and by the way, this is a libel lawsuit bought by three Russian bankers against Slate. They're saying Slate made up a whole story about Russian banking and Hillary and all that. And they just lie. Media makes up stuff. But anyway, so Christopher Steele was dragged into all of this. Folks, this is not the story that the FBI told the FISA court. This is not the story that Comey told Congress in the last couple of weeks. It was always Christopher Steele, FBI asset. Yeah, we found out he was talking to Hillary. And we found out he was talking to some people. We told him not to. So, you know, not Hillary directly, but her campaign. So we had a fire. No, that's not what happened. Not according to his sworn statement to the court. He was hired by Hillary to cook up this Russian crap in the event she lost the 2016 presidential election. Why? Quote, to provide the legal basis for contesting the election. Wow, that is not what the FBI told the FISA court or Congress under oath. No one will care. But here's what's really interesting. Put this together with another piece of information. This is the biggest breaking news, which is why the media is not talking about it. They haven't figured out how to cover this. I mean, because normally what they would do at this point is just destroy Christopher Steele. But they can't. Because the whole Russian fantasy hangs on him. The one they're still pimping today with the report that came out. Oh, it's a Russian's interfered. On what scale? A couple $1,000s. Okay. Most of the tens of thousands spent after the election, not before, but whatever. The other thing that has happened here, that is just, if you hear Comey sounding stressed out, this is why. Michael Isikoff, you know that name if you followed the media at all. Famous long-term reporter, right? He's the one who broke the story in Yahoo about the dossier. Hey, this dossier looks like Trump is in deep with the Russians. They're fixing the whole thing. And the Russians got dirt on Trump so they can control him. You know, the fake dossier that Steele, we now know, put together so Hillary could use it as a legal basis to discredit the elections and the election process before the votes had even taken place with Russian hacking. But wait, if the election hadn't happened yet, how do they know there was Russian hacking? They didn't. This was the deal they cut to make it up. So Michael Isikoff, last 48 hours, has come out, this reporter, and said he's the one who broke the whole Steele story, the whole dossier story, wrote a whole best-selling book about how Putin tried to steal the election based on the dossier. Isikoff, bombshell. He's being interviewed by Mediaites, a liberal outlet, by some liberal hack reporter. And the liberal hack reporter says to Isikoff, so, you know, the dossier has now been pretty much vindicated, right? It's been verified. And Isikoff goes, one-word answer, no. And the reporter goes, what? Yeah, Isikoff goes, it's looking like that's a little fake. A lot of it's false. Oh, and it looks like Mueller's not going to find anything. Now, for us, this is old news, okay? But for anybody who's, you know, been watching CNN, MSNBC, all that for the last couple of years, it's not old news. This is a bombshell, which is why they're not running this on those stations. Why did Isikoff just do that, finally admit it's all fake? Because the Steele thing was coming out from the court. And his entire journalistic integrity and his book, his bestseller, hangs in the balance. And he had to admit it's fake. He had to admit it's fake. So somehow Michael Isikoff knows it's fake. But Comey does not. He testified he didn't know if it was real or fake under oath a few weeks ago. Oh, but here's the big deal, folks. Real quickly. Isikoff's report was used, his article, remember, it was the one that was used to get the FISA warrant to spy on Trump. In addition to the dossier, those are the two pieces of information in the FISA warrant. So with Isikoff admitting it was fake, he's admitting the whole thing was fake. Busted, done. Which is why they're not covering this story today. It's the biggest story today, so it's not going to get coverage.
If the Democrat Party wants to go down the road of continuing to preserve a model that enriches smuggling organizations, that spreads misery on both sides of the border, that kills 300 Americans a week through heroin overdoses alone. By the way, illegal heroin costs our country $230 billion every single year.
You're talking about the intent of these migrants and trying to stop that, which really gets you more to the diplomatic issues of why people are fleeing in the first place, not the border wall itself. But
the largest increases,
are we going to have a shutdown over Christmas?
As you yourself acknowledge, the largest increases in illegal immigration are categories that are incentivized by loopholes in our laws and loopholes created by activist left-wing judges, including the district court judge.
I said there are a record number happening right now.
In the categories that correspond with these loopholes and the interventions, reckless, lawless interventions of district court judges. And this president has taken historic action to stem the tide of illegal immigration and to fight for working people in this country.
And this is his last best chance to get a border wall before Democrats.
And it's time that both parties, and this is what the American people want, both parties to come together for the sake of American children, for the sake of children all across this hemisphere, to create a lawful system of immigration, okay, not the lawless chaos that has been perpetuated for too many decades.
Good to have you in studio.
She's got to shut him down because he's winning. Stephen Miller, Epic Rant today. Stephen Miller of the Trump administration on Face the Nation. Yeah, he was doing too well. She had to shut him down. She's going to get in trouble. Study, almost half of high school students don't trust the media. That's a big number, and it is also historically a record. This is awesome. This means there's hope. I mean, if they don't, because, yeah, this is the way it used to go, is they would buy what the media said till they were, like, in their mid-30s, and then they'd lived enough of life to realize it didn't make sense. I mean, they're starting early. That means we have hope. By the way, if you look at the first Trump tweet right now, 1 hour ago, Trump's all over the biggest story, just like I am. It's the Michael Isikoff one. Michael Isikoff was the first reporter to report the dossier allegations and now seriously doubts the dossier claims. The whole Russian collusion thing was a hoax. But who is going to restore the good name of so many people whose reputations have been destroyed? Bingo. Amen. He goes on to quote Isikoff about the dossier and the Russian collusion allegations will never be proven and are likely false. Quote, unquote. That's from the guy who started the whole thing with his report. Admitting this just as Christopher Steele, who was his source for that article, comes out and admits in British court, Hillary totally hired me to make up the Russian thing. We needed an insurance policy in case she lost so we could challenge the presidency. We could challenge it legally. He didn't put it quite like that, but that's what he meant. Oh, yeah, I was hired before the election to put the Russian collusion narrative together. Well, if you were hired before the election, then the Russian collusion hadn't happened yet. Yeah, I know. See how this works? So this is why Isikoff has had to come. This must have been humiliating for him. This is why Isikoff has had to come out in tandem with Christopher Steele to put the dossier together and admit that it was a lie. His book was a lie. His reporting is a lie. The way he put it is, might be false. Huh. And so Isikoff has had to admit it too. Because now what's he going to do? Christopher Steele's out there saying, oh yeah, the dossier, I made that up, it's not real. Well, he practically is. Already hasn't said that, but he might as well. I was hired by Hillary to put this together. In case you lost the election. Wow, okay. And again, the reason this whole thing is falling apart with this Steele filing is that Steele was the only source for Isikoff's article, and Isikoff's article was one of two things used to get the FISA warrant. Remember, there were two sources, the dossier, which we know is fake, and they needed a second source. So what the FBI did was send Michael Steele to go do an interview with Michael Isikoff. And they took Isikoff's article and said, see, look, this journalist, he says, too, that Trump is colluding. And see, he says it, too. Well, the source for the dossier and Isikoff was the same. They didn't tell the FISA court that. They lied. Nobody cares when they lie, even though it's illegal. So, wow, busted. I guess we could remember this as the day when the honest media, and there aren't many of them, reported the definitive end of the Russia hoax. It's a big day. It's a historical day. Wish the rest of America could be let in on our country's history as it unfolds by the media.